What's up, Internet? Welcome to another episode of the Team Ability No Excuses podcast, where we try and bring real talk to matters of disability with no excuses. I'm Chad, and I have an Andy and a Brett here somewhere in cyberspace. Say hello, gentlemen.
What's up, chuckleheads?
Oh, Andy, you stepped on Brett. We're not very good at stepping, at least Brett and I. Andy is much better at stepping, but we stepped on Brett. So, Brett, you get your own hello. Go for it.
Hello, Internet. Hello, gentlemen.
I love that we're gentlemen. He's so nice.
Well, it was a very nice greeting, but he sounds really sad.
You would be sad too if you had to talk to the both of you twice in a week.
Oh, that's all right. So
we had some technical difficulties the last time we recorded, and full disclosure, it's 100% on me. So thanks for that, Brett. But
yeah, way to throw Andy under the bus.
I would rather be up at my cottage right now, but I'm spending a few days in the city because I think I probably needed a break. The fish weren't biting, and it's nice to be back in the city. It's nice to be closer to people. I get an opportunity to hang out with a few people, talk to the two of you twice in a week again. But,
I have a couple questions.
Uh-oh.
Don't you live in Oakville?
I live in Mississauga.
Oh, I think I get that wrong every time.
And the thing hold on. I want to step on both of you. We've had, Brett's been with us for over a year, Andy. Plus, we have childhood history with this guy. How do you still not know where he lives?
I don't know what I'm trying to say. I'm just an idiot.
Okay, so I want to jump back into the fact that how much time you've been spending around your cottage and stuff in a second, because it's my understanding, based on as we've already and I didn't know we were going there either, but we've already let the cat out of the bag that this is the second time we've tried to record this episode. The technical difficulties got in the way, but we know you have a piece of equipment which is very intriguing, and that sounds very loaded. So I'll leave it right there. I want to circle back though to something that happened earlier, I guess what would have been last week for us, but we haven't had a chance to record since, and that was Father's Day. Andy and I are both dads, and we have been as transparent as possible about some of the challenges that we have faced as fathers with disabilities, persons with disabilities who are also fathers, say it however the heck you want. And Bretsky, I know that Father's Day has been a deeply sensitive one for you in the past. You have been probably the most transparent of the three of us in documenting losing your father all those years ago, and the gut-wrenching story of that, which I didn't even know was I think the first episode that we taped with you, and we've had you back ever since then. We haven't been haven't found a way to get rid of you, but I want to talk to my fellow dad here, Andy, first of all, and ask you how your Father's Day was, buddy.
Yeah, man. First of all, I appreciate going first. That's not usually what happens, but we're changing up all the rules today.
Yeah, sure. We're thinking outside the box.
I've already interrupted Brett numerous times, so I'm sure I'm in his good books. Father's Day was good. We've had a little while where first it was Maya's birthday, then it was Mother's Day. Then it was my birthday, and now Father's Day. So, as we've said before, Maya's getting to the point where she really, obviously, she understands what's going on now, and I'll stop sort of saying she's expecting parties every few weeks, but it seems like it's been that way. So, but no, Father's Day was good. Our morning routine, it doesn't matter the day. We'll probably do this on Christmas, is, she wakes up. Sometimes she wakes me up because I haven't been going to the gym, obviously. But she'll wake up, and, first thing is, brush your teeth, because we have to be somewhat responsible parents. And then we watch Paw Patrol. I'm not ashamed to say that.
I love that, like, that's the number two. Like, it's teeth. So, because dental hygiene is very important. So, that's number one. But then immediately after that is Paw Patrol.
Yeah. And to be completely honest, the only reason she brushes her teeth is because she can get to watch Paw Patrol. So, right. So, little parenting hack there. Find something kids like to do, and then right before you allow them to do that, you
get to make them brush their teeth.
In this case, yes. Yeah, and then Amanda gets to sleep in a little bit. She woke up. She had to remind Maya that it was Father's Day. And after she finished her episode, she ran upstairs to – she being Maya ran upstairs to help with breakfast and get my gifts. So it was a good day. And then we spent a little time with the in-laws because apparently Father's Day is Grandparents' Day as well. So and then we went and saw my family. So it was a good day. Pretty low-key, but yeah, it's always fun.
Well, I'm glad you have you had a great day there, buddy. You know, it's a day to celebrate. I guess celebrate dads, and I had a great time with my dad later in the day. But also, just it's always a day for me to be reminded of the many blessings in my life that I think sometimes, you know, you take for granted. It was extra special this year for me. Crystal is a nurse, as I've been very honest about on the podcast before. So she was working a day shift. And so that meant I had my kids for the majority of the day, although she's downscaled her shifts now and is working 8-hour shifts. So she was working an 8-hour shift as opposed to a 12. So she was home a little earlier and home for dinner, which was nice. My day started with my 5-year-old coming into the bedroom with a trumpet that I happened to have downstairs. I have, made no bones about the fact that I am a high school music teacher, and so there are instruments in my basement that sometimes don't get used as much as I would like. But Colby discovered the trumpet and then woke me up. My oldest is almost 13. He'll be 13 in November, and so we're getting to the point sometimes now where Daddy gets to sleep in a bit, and my youngest might get up first and then go down and wake up my oldest, and you know that buys me an extra half hour or so in bed before I hear them and can get up. But Colby came into the room and said, "Happy Father's Day, Daddy. I wrote you a song." And I was just stirring to wake up. And as I sat up in bed, I noticed that he had a trumpet in his hand. And I was like, uh-oh. This is going to be loud. And he proceeded to play a few notes on the trumpet right in my ear at about 8 a.m. on Father's Day. So it was a great start to the day. My oldest son then made me Cinnamon Toast Crunch by candlelight, which was, you know, not necessarily, I don't think romance was what he was going for, but he wanted to do something to celebrate the fact that it was my day. And so he found a couple candles and lit them and had his Father's Day card, his homemade Father's Day card waiting for me by the bowl of Cinnamon Toast Crunch. And then my daughter brought her card up, and it was pretty fantastic. I had a delivery of beer, which I think every dad would love on Father's Day. There was a beer delivery show up at my door, so that was pretty fantastic. And then I ended the evening, towards the end of the evening, I was blessed to be able to go and eat ribs with my dad. I've got my parents right next door, and so it's been amazing, obviously, to be able to remain close to them through the loosening of, you know, now phase two into the COVID shenanigans. And so, I was able to go over there and have dinner with my parents and my dad. If there's one thing he knows, is beer and meat. And so that it was a nice way to celebrate Father's Day. And cholesterol. Yeah, definitely. Most definitely. Lots of cholesterol. So we did that. And And then I was able to, and I didn't, full disclosure, I didn't tell this story when we recorded the first time. So you guys didn't get a chance to hear this, but my Father's Day gift to my dad was working with Caleb, my oldest son, who's a bit of a singer himself. He's got a nice voice and he's just trying to struggle. He struggles a lot with confidence because he's only, you know, turning 13. And so I try to build into him a lot that that he's pretty good at it. And so we actually recorded a song called Cats in the Cradle, which is one of my dad's favorite songs from like the 70s. We recorded a version of that, just him and I. And I did a little bit of amateur production on that song and mixed it down into an MP3. And then we played that for my dad for his Father's Day gift. So that was pretty cool. It was a pretty special day.
I have a few questions.
Sure. I talked a long time, so I'm certain that they were just, you know, gathering in your head.
You did talk for a while, so much so that I had to make notes.
Oh, wow.
No, I'm just kidding. So we'll start with the beginning, because that's
yes.
a good place to start. That's also a reference to The Sound of Music. it is The Sound of Music, right? I'm pretty sure.
I think so. Like doe a deer, a female deer?
Yeah. So listen, do you think that Kobe genuinely had a song for you? And or do you think he had help? Do you think somebody – you don't necessarily have to answer this right now, but just putting that in your ear. I think it was probably a collaboration, and they're like, Dad's not going to get mad at the young kid.
Okay, so you're like a brother to me. You know my family very well. So which one of my children put Colby up to it?
I'd have to go with Cadence, right?
Because 100%. Yeah.
Well, that's just I'm speculating. And secondly, I think Caleb's candle idea was fantastic because – I see what he's going for. You want to put a candle, like if it was a cake, he would put a candle, right?
Right.
The part that he missed, though, was you need a floating candle to put into the milk. Right? So just an idea for next year.
Then it could have been like cinnamon extra toast crunch because it would have been extra heated by the candle.
Yeah, maybe. So shout out to Cadence for the sneak attack, because
yeah,
she only brought the card, right? Like, let's be honest.
Yeah, that's a great point. Leave it to you to figure that out, but that could be a very real scenario.
I mean I could be dead wrong. Your kid Kobe could be a musical genius. I don't know.
Well, I mean, it was some pretty stellar trumpet playing. The funny thing is I don't suspect that either of you have held a trumpet, but they're kind of heavy, like too heavy for a 5-year-old. So he's trying to hold this thing up and he's like, Daddy, can you hold it for me? And so I had to hold it like literally right by my ear because it was not fun. I mean, it was a great song, but it was a great way to start my morning.
So fun fact. I have, in fact, played a trumpet. Fun fact, I have, in fact, played it. Man, I am on fire today. I played the trumpet. It was my instrument of choice in grade 6. And being a music teacher, you know there's only a certain number of instruments. And in grade 6, I was good enough to win a spot playing the trumpet.
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah, well, the story's not over. I came back full of confidence in my musical abilities in grade 7, and I could not play the thing to save my life. I have no idea what happened. All my skill left my body.
you just forgot over the summer.
Yeah, that must be it. I tried to do everything I did before, but
just didn't work.
Yeah, so much.
You could have been Miles Davis.
No, Nope. Pretty sure I know who that is, and I could not have been him.
That's awesome. All right, so that was Andy's Father's Day. That was my Father's Day. I want to circle back around to Brett, and I know that this could be, and I love you for it, because Father's Day could be one of those days which is very difficult for you, but I know from full disclosure, this is the second time we tried to record this episode, so I know what your Father's Day looked like this year, and it was a pretty special one, Brettsky, so tell us about it.
So I think I've touched on the fact that we were fortunate enough that Mom bought a cottage at the end of March, just before COVID hit. And so we've been spending an awful lot of time up in Bracebridge at our cottage. And so this past Father's Day, we were up there with me and my mom were up there with my brother and my sister-in-law and their two kids, and my sister-in-law's parents stayed in a trailer on our in our driveway. So it was a good Father's Day. I mean, admittedly, I don't know if we forgot that it was Father's Day, but I don't think we wished my brother and his father-in-law a happy Father's Day until 4 o'clock when his father-in-law and mother-in-law were leaving on Sunday. So, it is what it is. I mean, it's somber and it's a bit difficult, obviously, but, the good thing is that I personally have got to a point where I do my best to remember the good times, with my dad. So it's not nearly as sad as it could be.
Well, I think Chad said it. Well, he says it anytime we talk about this kind of stuff, and there's no other way to say it other than I appreciate your openness, and I know for a fact that people don't have the same outlook you do, right? I know people that don't view life the same way.
The thing that I look at is the fact that things happen and you could either roll over or you can face them head on. And I've gone through the stage of rolling over. It was a very, very hard time for me for a good 4 or 5 years after he passed away. But I mean, like, you eventually move on. You realize that you're not doing yourself any favors by wallowing in sorrow. And that if you knew my dad, and Chad, you may have met him once, twice.
Yeah, definitely.
You would know that he wasn't the type of person that would tell you that to give up. Like, he would, in his own little way, kick me in the ass to continue to move on. So that's what I feel like I'm trying to do every single day in honoring him. Devoid of COVID in the last 3.5 months. But I mean, even then, like, we're just, there are little things every single day that you don't think about when it happens, but you realize that he's with you. And I've noticed that as time has gone on, that there are those little things that remind me that he's with me always, and he'll continue to be with me until my last day on earth and my last breath.
Yeah, again, man, I appreciate it, and I feel like I'm just repeating myself at this point, which I am. So we're gonna move on because I sound like a moron. But to go along with Father's Day, I found out this week, I want to say, Mr. Pilon got a phone call from you, Brett, and I got to say I'm feeling a little bit left out. I wrote a very nice text to both of you, and then Chad gets a phone call. Right? I don't know if the phone call was before the text or after,
I don't. I'd have to go back through my cell phone history. But yes, we have the three of us have developed a nice little brotherhood through the bonds of the Team Ability No Excuses podcast, and so got a very nice text from Andy wishing us both a happy Father's Day. And I can't remember. I'd have to go back and look and see when the text was. And then as we were finishing dinner, we had just finished listening to that song that I mentioned that we recorded for my dad. And then I'm sorry, Andy, I didn't know this was going to be a point of bitterness, but then I got a phone call from Brett wishing me a happy Father's Day. So I don't know what I have done to deserve the happy Father's Day phone call that you never got, but thank you, Brett Wills. I appreciate you and I love you.
Yeah. Well, you probably didn't beat him up when we played hockey. That's probably what it came
out. It was probably most definitely that.
And again, we pre-recorded this, and this is actually fun because we didn't talk about this the first time. So there's always new stuff on the Team Ability No Excuses podcast, even when we're trying to redo things.
Okay, so Andy's butthurt that he didn't get the phone call, but not really, because we know what a sarcastic guy Andy is. I want to, and again, we've been talking, we've been documenting Brett's, been living in the sort of the country. I mean, certainly more country than Mississauga. You got the place up in Bracebridge now, cottage life in full effect. And again, we are kind of rehashing some stories that we told to each other earlier this week that never made air. So all I'm going to say are the words water trampoline. And I want you to just tell us the story, Brett, of your water trampoline. I will obviously chime in about why that's ironic. Probably doesn't need to be said. But you had an incident with your water trampoline.
So when I was up in Bracebridge this past week, it rained for a good 18 hours. It was windy. It was wet. And we live on the river. And so I woke up one morning and I looked outside and the water was really high and it was really, really brown, gross. So I knew that it was running pretty quick. So I went about my business, went into town and came back about an hour and a half or 2 hours later and looked outside again. And the damn water trampoline was missing. And I'm thinking to myself, well, where the hell did this thing go? It couldn't have possibly got up and walked away because it doesn't have legs. Wheelchair humor, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, yeah. Because there's not enough of that already.
So I'm looking left of the cottage, right of the cottage on this river. And I thought to myself, well, if it's gone anywhere, it's gone down the river with the current. So I look down the river and it's about two cottages away, but it's on the other side of the river. And so I started to panic. What the hell is going on? What am I going to do? I called my mom real quick. I said, so this is what happened. What do you want me to do? And we're really, really lucky. We got pretty good neighbors. The one neighbor to one side of us, he's an OPP officer, but he also runs a salvage business. He's got a barge that he has on the river. So I called him up and I said, so listen, I'm embarrassed. I never wanted to make this phone call to you, but my water trampoline is down the river. Is there any possible way that you could go get it? And as I'm talking to him, I'm thinking to myself, well, you idiot, if you weren't in a wheelchair, you probably could have hopped in your own boat and gone to grab it yourself. But here you are. So anyway, before I even got off the phone with him, he was already on his barge and down the river picking it up, which was great. But I was reminded that it's probably going to happen three or four times a summer unless we get a little bit more weight to hold it down towards the bottom of the riverbed.
All right. So, Andy, you want to jump in because you said it earlier, you're on fire tonight. Do you want to jump in about the irony of the water trampoline first or should I?
Well, you can, but I feel like I'm being a jerk today, but Brett, you realize that boats are driven by hand controls, right? Like,
Listen here.
You're not being a jerk, Andy, because literally I almost cut him off when he said, if I wasn't in a wheelchair, I could drive a boat. And I was like, no, but you can drive a boat. I mean, getting in and out of the boat might cause some challenge, but the driving of the boat would be very easy because even I can do that.
Yeah.
So we have, it's a little 16-foot boat. Maybe even smaller, but it's got a 9.9 on it, and I can assure you that it would not have been able to drag this thing back.
Okay, then, fair enough.
Then your previous statement doesn't matter anyways.
I don't like to be called out, especially at 5 to 11 at night.
Quit busting his balls, Andy. Move on with the next ironic part.
The fascinating thing about the water trampoline is you refuse to use it. And that's a bit of a strong statement because there are issues around how you will use it. But there's no doubt in my mind that whether you do it on your own or with the help of others, you could in fact get on the trampoline. And I will go as far to say that if it happens to get recorded and make its way to the internet, I will pass some money along to whoever posts the video. Whether that be Tanner, I'm not going to pay you because then you'll do it for sure. I think it would be very comical, even if I'm the only one laughing.
So I want to jump in and maybe back up for a second for those that are listening. I know what a water trampoline is because when I went to the Dominican a couple summers ago, they had one on the resort. But the water trampoline you're describing is like an inner tube, a giant inner tube on the water with like a trampoline bouncy pad. Yes.
Yes, 100%.
Okay, so I mean, I can understand how you can't really climb up on that thing because, I remember that summer when I got back from Dominican, I was actually documenting the trip on our podcast. We were talking about some of the accessibility challenges around the beaches and stuff, and of course, I'll maybe chat about that as we close off because I had my own beach experience this week. But beaches are no fun. But I did watch my children walk down this beautiful beach in the Dominican with my father, and my dad had to lift my kids. I think Caleb is my oldest; he probably pulled himself up. But there's significant difficulties with getting yourself on this trampoline. I mean, you're not climbing any ladders, and I don't think this thing has any ladders. But I'm with Andy, man. Let's get you on this thing. Let's get all of us on this thing, and then let's just take a stupid, embarrassing video of us all pretending we can jump.
Yeah, but I, you guys know I'm not shy. Like, I will wear a life jacket. I will put on water socks. Are they water socks or water shoes?
Let's go with water shoes because water socks sounds just not good.
Well, point being, you can tell how often I go in the water, right? So I don't even know the proper terminology. But I'll probably put a helmet on, maybe. No, I mean, yeah, who knows what the rest of the summer is going to look like in terms of who can do what with how many people. But, we'll see.
I mean, I'm game, and I'll speak right to Tanner, to Brett's brother, because I think he listens to the podcast at least a little bit. So first of all, hey, buddy, how are you? Second of all, lift your brother's ass up on that water trampoline and then launch him into the sky. That's what I want to have happen.
I think the best thing we're probably going to have to do is probably get like a harness and maybe a crane and just lift me up there. I you know what, Andy, if you get up there at some point in the next few summers, we're going to try this.
Excellent. Challenge accepted. Challenge accepted. Okay. One more thing from me, and I know I've been talking a lot, but I had another moment this week as I was with my kids. Beautiful weather. Crystal had a day off. The beaches have opened up a little bit. The recreational trail areas have opened up a little bit. People were being very responsible with social distancing. They're down there rollerblading and riding bikes, but obviously keeping distance. I went down to the beach this week with my kids and my wife. And of course, kids are kids, and they wanted to go down to the water a little bit, skip some rocks. And my kids have actually taken up a couple hobbies during quarantine and COVID, and one of them is rock painting. They find these big smooth rocks and then paint nice pictures on them, and they're actually getting quite good at it. So our walk was going good. We're going down the trail, which is very paved and wonderful and fantastic. Bikes and rollerblades and all kinds of wheeled items were out there. And then my kids decided they wanted to go down by the water. And then I just kind of had to sit and wait. And I posted a picture to my social media, to my Facebook, which blew up because of my humor and the way that I kind of wrote the little caption about how they climb rocks better than me, because they went down and found these rocks, and then they were climbing up on these jagged rocks, and my daughter and my youngest son got into the water in Lake Ontario up to their knees. My daughter wanted to go swimming further, and I said, no, it's Lake Ontario, don't do that. but they were having a blast, and I was up there on the trail. And I posted this picture and had a couple of people sort of chime in, saying it wasn't necessarily like, oh, no, poor you. But that kind of mentality, and I know it speaks to both of you guys as well. And we're very like-minded when it comes to that stuff. But for me, it's not a poor me moment at all. For me, it's a moment where I'm part of that. I get to experience it just in a different way. I don't care if I have to take the photo. Sure, I would love to be on the, on the rocks and on the beach with my kids. But at the same time, I'm not stopping them from experiencing this awesome moment. I will gladly take the photo. And it warms my heart to watch my wife and my kids, together down at the beach. And it's not a poor me moment at all. And frankly, I can't stand when it becomes that. And I know you guys share those sentiments.
I mean, you take that picture, people understand your sense of humor. But people that don't know you as well, basically like, poor you. I know I'm paraphrasing, but I'm piggybacking on your paraphrase. I don't know. You guys know. I kind of had a moment of, I'm sick and tired of the poor me mentality, and I know that's what we kind of rage against. Rage against sounds very serious. We are not very serious on this podcast, but I don't know. Maybe I'm on social media too much with COVID now, but it seems like more than, and it's not just people with disabilities. It's just poor me, Twitter, poor me.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm not built that way. Maybe I'm not, maybe you're not, Brett. You've already said you're not, right?
Yeah, I think, and again, Andy, you're kind of hitting the nail on the head for me there. You know, as I said earlier, and I was just, I used that kind of that poor me mentality, right? Like, I took the photo, I made a joke about it. I took the photo. I was shrugging my shoulders in the foreground while my kids were playing in the background. Like, it was meant to be a humorous post. And I think the vast majority of my social media followers, Facebook friends, whatever, know my humor, and they took it that way. But I mean, to your point, I'm not tagging the city of Hamilton and saying, why don't you put an accessible path to the water? You know, like, I'm just grateful to be experiencing what I'm experiencing with my kids. I'm not using it to forward an agenda or to try and again, I'm all for change, and I think it can be done in the right way. But again, it wasn't done in a way that, again, and to beat that dead horse again, that poor me mentality. I'm not tagging the mayor. I'm not tagging the city. I'm not saying, you could do better. This was me just, making a joke about, oh, I can't go on the beach.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I just think that, people in general are more so than anytime I can remember, and I'm starting to sound philosophical here, but it's just, if things don't work for me, then there's an issue, right?
Right.
And I thought, maybe I'm splitting hairs at this point. Maybe that wasn't the point of, well, I know it wasn't the point of your picture, but I just, man, are there times it sucks to be disabled? Yeah, there is. Are there times that I don't even know if I can say disabled anymore, right? Like,
right? Actually, it's persons with a disability.
And I hope I'm making sense. And I think
I think you're making a ton of sense. I was just about to throw to the voice of reason, BT Wills over there, but he's already graced us with his soundbite. One of the things that I deeply appreciate about both of you guys is I think we share that vision for what we try to promote here on the podcast, in terms of, you know, life hands you a challenge, you overcome it. You don't get hurt by it, or maybe you do get hurt by it, and then you're resilient enough, you know, to move past it. It doesn't become a chip on your shoulder or something that you need to use, you know, your own agenda. And Andy, you spoke to the power of social media these days. It's really becoming a game changer and almost a detriment to a lot of people, to be able to give some people a voice. It gives everyone a voice, I suppose, but for better or for worse.
Well, I think we have a voice on the internet, man. That's crazy to me. It's mind-boggling. Well, listen, Chad, I want to go back to you said you had a light bulb moment, and I think that that's a perfect phrase, because it's not poor me. And I have a little bit of a similar story. I was scrolling through social media. We're talking about social media a lot, which I guess is good because we utilize it. So I'm scrolling through social media, and Father's Day is happening. And I come across Sam's wife. Sam's been on the show a few times. And she posts a picture of Sam teaching his one daughter how to ride a bike and the other one how to rollerblade. And just whatever, happy Father's Day to Sam. But I need to be very clear when I say this. I did not have a poor me moment. I just had a light bulb moment of, I'm not going to be able to teach Maya or Macy how to ride a bike. And I guess I should clarify, I'm not going to be able to teach them how to ride a bike in that way.
Yes, that's right.
Me running behind anything doesn't end well for anybody. So there are ways to do it, probably from my wheelchair. I'm not sure, because we're not really at that point. I've had to be a barricade for Maya when she's riding her bike and just let her run into me so she doesn't.
I love that. Amanda's riding or Amanda's doing the teaching how to ride, and you're the guy that's, you go sit with your wheelchair, you know, parallel and block. Yeah. You're going to be near the wall.
No. And I, much like you said already, I just, I think, and this is coming from my vast parenting knowledge, 3 years in, I think what kids remember is parents being present, right? They're not going to be like, mom's the one who taught me how to ride a bike. They very well could be, mom's the one that taught me how to ride the bike and dad wasn't there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And
that's the difference. And I feel like we're talking a lot about poor me, right? And parents are gone for a lot of reasons. And I think we talked about before, but before COVID, like, I was working like crazy, and I actually got to the point where I was like, man, I got to figure out how to do things differently, because I'm starting to miss things. And I'd go from one job, come home for, if I was lucky, some days for a half an hour, to just before I'd have to go back out again. And I I'm not going to say COVID has been a blessing, but it has been beneficial in terms of getting to spend more time with my kids. And I'm grateful for that for sure. And I just think, I don't care what your disability is. And Clay said this much better than I can. And Kevin, who we're going to get to at some point, said it as well, but everybody has challenges and it just depends what you do with those challenges, right? I don't know where we're going to go from here, but I just think, and again, I said it before, I'm done with the poor me kind of thing. And to be clear, I've been done with it for a while.
Yeah. Well, I think to just to kind of wrap it up, just because we've been going for a while. I mean, I think that's the point, right? It's not a poor me. It's a provide moments for your kids. And you just said it wonderfully, man. Your kids aren't going to be, you know, daddy wasn't the one to teach me how to ride a bike. And when they get old enough, they'll be the one to laugh about that. Like, I mean, my oldest son is 13 and he makes jokes all the time now that are awesome, right? Like, geez, dad, why didn't you teach me how to ride a bike? You know, like, and I mean, because of my sense of humor, I look at that and I laugh and I just go, I go, yeah, I did a pretty good job of raising this kid to be accepting and have a good sense of humor. But I mean, he knows that I was there when, and to throw back to my beach story that got this all started, my kids know that I was there with them. I'm there on the trail. I'm there taking pictures. I'm there up on the overlooking, you know, deck that's overlooking this one part of the beach. I'm there taking photos and waving at him and taking videos and being proud of him in that way. Just as Andy, you know, yeah, you're not running beside the bike, but you're right there supporting your daughter in whatever way you can. And shout out to, as you mentioned, a couple of great guests, Clayton Terrio and Kevin Davidson, who you're going to hear from shortly when that episode makes air. Kevin had some great things to say about his own challenges and challenges of his kids and the outlook of a parent. And ultimately, our responsibility is, yes, of course, to provide for our kids, but you said it, Andy, in an amazing way. Be present for your kids and be in the moment with them, whatever that looks like for you, right? I didn't run alongside the bike and teach my kids how to ride the bike, but my kids guaranteed, matter of fact, we were just talking about this last summer, they have memories of me strapping on my freewheel and going on the bike rides with them and chugging behind mom, trying to keep up and challenging, you know, cadence to races and stuff. And that's the stuff that shows them that daddy can. It's not daddy can't. It's not poor daddy. It's not, you know, the world owes daddy something and needs to be more accessible. It's daddy can and daddy will. And I think that's a great way to close off.
Yeah. And you said you wanted to close, but to that point, and it's my proudest dad moment to date so far. That's what to date means. But you guys know I've started working out in the backyard, and Maya, through this pandemic, has made a friend behind us. She's a little bit older, but around the same age. So I don't know what they do. They have play dates and the fence is magic. I don't know. But
the magic fence.
But I was out there one day and the girl said to Maya, what's wrong with your dad? Why does he have a wheelchair? Actually, I think she said, why does he need a wheelchair? And right away, she didn't even hesitate. She was like, he doesn't need a wheelchair. He only uses it sometimes. And even then, it's only to exercise and to keep up with me because I'm way too fast. So, I mean, there's a lot of areas that that I could do better in. I'm not gonna sugarcoat that, but being a dad is something that I just refuse to fail at, right? So, disability or not, I'm gonna do whatever I can to be the best dad that I can. So, yeah, like I said, it is my proudest dad moment by far so far.
Out of the mouth of babes, man. I love that. And I love the innocence of kids and knowing Maya the way that I do, even just, and again, you've mentioned, you know, she's getting older, she's getting smarter, faster, wittier, right? Like that's a very witty thing for a three-year-old to say, but so much truth in that sentence, right? Especially, you know, he just needs it to keep up with me because I'm way faster. I love it.
I'm sure you've had these moments of, you just kind of want to step in as a parent, but you also want to kind of sit back and be like, how
are they going to handle it? Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Right? What happens? And
absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that's amazing. And I can't think of a better way to close off this episode than with Maya's words of wisdom, other than to throw to Bretzky, cause we haven't heard from him in a little while. Brett, you alive or what?
Good night, internet.
Oh, that's about it. All right. That's our cue to leave. Listen, internet, as Brett just referred to you, you can, if you like what we do, you can go back and check out any old episode you'd like on any major podcasting device of your choice. Andy, it's been a blast. Brett, thank you for sharing as always. I deeply appreciate you guys and I appreciate this podcast. Thanks for listening to another one. This has been the Team Ability No Excuses podcast. Cheers.